Okay, I thought I'd gone a little bit of a different path here tonight. We've been talking about all of the interesting, not just characters of the Torah and Brachos, but also, the beginnings, really the beginnings, the ramifications and the importance of so many of these Ishiyut that we don't even think about. Everything from Cain and Hevel to all of their children, to Lamech, to Noach, to Terach, to Nachar, to Lavan, to Choron. We spoke about all of these people. We covered a lot of people, trying not to miss. And then we got into the big guns, last couple of weeks with Avram Avinu. He's also in the Torah. Avram Avinu and Avram Avinu's two sons, Yishmael and Yitzchak. And we spoke a lot about Yishmael as being sort of an unknown character, but we made clear of who Yishmael is and how important it is. But I just want to synopsize it in one sentence because it's important for today. That Avram Avinu seems from the Torah, as radical as this seems, but it comes out, it seems to be true, that Avram Avinu was quite satisfied with Yishmael as his son, as his dynasty, as his geza, as his lineage, as his progenitor. Avram Avinu was happy with that. When he was old, 100 years old, so Hashem said to him, "Oh, now you're going to have a son Yitzchak," and his comment was, "Well, I'm 100 years old, but I already need a son, another son. I already have Yishmael." And he said, "No, your offspring has to come from Sarah." That was what Hashem said. So to this, Avram Avinu said, "Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanacha." Why can't Yishmael? What's going to be with Yishmael? Im Kain. If my offspring is going to come from Sarah, so this Yishmael is a wonderful, great kid, a wunderkind. Like, what's going to happen to Yishmael? This is strange. It's not the regular Bible story that we learned, but it seems to be very, very clear. And we pointed out that Yishmael may have always been the dream child of Avram. In a certain way, even more than Yitzhak, this is not such a big surprise, but it was his son. It was his older son. It was his Bechor. But the depth of it is that there was two parts or two missions to Avram Avinu, which is really where I want to go today, and as I say, taking it a little bit of a different path. One mission of Avraham was clear, and that was to tell the world about Hashem. Do you want me to move this a little?
No, I just can't believe I'm saying it.
Oh, okay. Well, so you get so close.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense, right? I tell you what, if nobody's sitting there, just shut the light off and then the fan goes off.
Oh, that's it.
No, you don't need the light there, just shut the light. The switch is right there.
I have an audio.
Okay. Up to you. Avram Avinu seemed to have two reasons for being in this world. One reason he chose for himself, and the other one I believe Hashem chose for him. The reason he chose for himself to be in this world, the deep tachlis of what he was for, was to teach the world about monotheism, teach the world about Hashem. He came out of Nimrod, he came out of the Migdal Bavel. Everybody had forgotten by that time who created the world. And Avram Avinu was a nefesh asher asa bachor, and everything that he was teaching, everywhere that he went, it was a magnetic personality, a charismatic personality of teaching the whole world about Hashem, 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 Hashem. Like, this is a big lesson to learn, right? Hashem created the world. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. That was like the main mission of Hashem. And by the way, while I'm here, I have so many things I learned wrong from my teachers when I was in cheder. I don't know about me, but they have to do tshuva. you have this feeling of Avram Avinu walking around Israel, the sort of nomadic type of a guy with some sheep, and he's walking with a cape, and maybe had a chalil with him, and talking. This wasn't the correct picture of Avram at all. If you read the Chumash, this is not at all what it is. It's shtuyot. Avram Avinu was like, you read about somebody in history that was a superpower. this is what the Torah says. Avraham Avinu, first of all, waged war against the four kings, the four superpowers of the world. We spent an hour talking about it. Avraham Avinu traveled not Israel, he traveled the entire Middle East. He was deeply involved in Egypt, and he was deeply involved in Mesopotamia, from north to south, and fought wars with all of the kings of the East. He was huge. He had so much flock that he couldn't be in the same area of the country. We're not talking about the same backyard. He couldn't be in the same area of the country as his nephew Lot. He parayed down by Allah. You take the Dead Sea region, I'll take the next side of the country. So we're talking about huge. We're talking about a millionaire. We're talking about a person that would Avraham Avinu was like a king. Wherever he went, the king, whether it was Paro, whether it was Avimelech, whether it was whether it was Shem, Melchizedek, Melech Sholem, they all came out to greet him. This wasn't just like a shepherd walked into town, with his Khalil. This was a very, very deep person that was conquering the world, and it was a spiritual conquest. It was the type of thing that, they would rent out the stadium in the city, and thousands of people would come to listen to Avraham Avinu. That was what it was. He was sermonizing to the entire world. So this is a different picture of Avraham Avinu. So that picture, we understand, Yishmael suited him perfectly in this tachlis, because Yishmael was Yadai Bakol V'Yad Kol Bo. He was also an international personality, and Hashem blessed him to be an international personality. Gab hu yiya l'goy godol, he will be a great nation. Yadai Bakol V'Yad Kol Bo, he'll be involved in everything. Okay, well, we see today, we see this mamish coming alive, like from the Torah. What we see today is the negative side of Yishmael. Like, everything has a positive and a negative. What Avraham Avinu probably saw in Yishmael was the positive side of Yishmael. Yishmael had different parts to his life. He was a complicated person. But as are all great people, you have to be a little bit extreme to get something done in this world. So Yishmael was extreme. So he saw Yishmael very, very clearly as carrying on his mission throughout the Middle East and throughout the world. That was one thing. Hashem says to Avraham, no. It's going to be like Sarah says. What does Sarah say? La yirash ben ha'aba hazois ibni Yitzchak. No way that this kid, who's the child of a handmaiden, of a servant, is going to be yorish you at any kind of a partnership at all to my son Yitzchak. So, tension. Here's tension, domestic tension. What do you want me to do with Yishmael? I'll tell you what I want you to do. Throw him out. Throw him out of the house. Let him drop dead. Basically, that's what Sarah said. Hashem saved Yishmael, but it was a miracle that he was saved Yishmael. To Yitzchak, to Avraham, this was an Akedah. It was an Akedah just like Akedah's Yitzchak. He gave up his son Yitzchak. He was willing to. He decided, because Hashem said to, he gave up his son Yishmael. It's one of the ten Nisyonos, the same way. But what he was giving up, besides for his son, was a certain dream, a certain program that he had, and that's a program of universalism. This is very clear. I'm just reviewing what we learned in the last few weeks. I just wanted to be crystal clear before we go further. It means that if this episode would not have happened, of Yishmael being evicted from the house, you and I and all Judaism would have looked completely different today. And we would have been maybe nicer in a way. We would have been more universal. Instead of being hated by everybody, we would be like we all think we should be. We all pay lip service to it, but nobody does it. We would be a light unto the nations. Who's a light unto the nations? Are we teaching our kids in school to be a light unto the nations? We're teaching them, don't look at the nations and don't let them look at you. Put a little box around yourself. Maybe yes. So, but this was not Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a nefesh asher asa bacharam. He was the nefesh asher asa bacharam. That was what he was all about. Thousands and thousands of followers, and wherever he went, they became believers. The world was like getting good, and Hashem said, "No, go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael, and not Yishmael el Yitzchak, but Yitzchak yikari l'chazera." You want to know where it's going now? Where you're going to? Yitzchak, this was like taking this and bringing it down to this. This was, Yitzchak was the ultimate in Tzimtzum. He was the ultimate in almost reductionist or like such a fine focus. Yitzchak. But that's what Sarah understood. Sarah understood that it's not about making the world monotheistic only. There'll be time for that maybe when Mashiach comes. It's about Zerah. It's about creating a B'nai Yisrael. That's what it's about. So the paradigm shift the paradigm shift that took place with the eviction of Yishmael was moving from universalism to creating a B'nai Yisrael very, very strongly and finely focused. What's the opposite of universalism?
Singularity.
So let's call it singularism, even though it's probably not a word. But you understand, like, in other words, it was about, you know, it's the kind of decision that you know, like, many people have to make at some point or another. Do I want to reach hundreds of thousands or millions? But maybe it's got to be a little bit more watered down. You know, if I would be sitting here, not that I'm even... But just for an example, like if I would be sitting, instead of being sitting here with you, I'd be sitting on a TV show, you know, and, almost. And not a TV show in Yerushalayim, but a TV show that's going throughout network television. And, you know, let's say I had my own cable TV station. The idea has been thought of. People have thought of. Wouldn't be just me, there's others. you know what happens? I'll tell you why when that idea comes up, anything like that, or, you know, even not that big, but anything like that, why I would resist it. I would resist it because now I have to water down what I'm saying. Now I have to put a different beged on what I'm saying. I'm sitting here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to the men, I'm in a yeshiva in Yerushalayim giving a shir. I tell it the way it is. Emes. I say the emes, but like this I have to water down. What Avraham Avinu has a product for the world. And Sarah says it's not, we need to bring Hashras HaShechina. Now, it's deeper. It's deeper than even Hashras HaShechina. We need to do, and this is where I want to talk about now. Sarah said this. Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah, the Imahos, really the Imahos, understood something that the Avos never understood clearly, so it seems. And that is that don't forget while you're changing the whole world. You know that the famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that, he said to somebody, don't forget while you're trying to help Klal Yisrael, don't forget about Rabbi Yisrael. He's referring to himself, you know. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Don't forget about Rabbi Yisrael. Like, what about that one person who needs... Don't forget that the world is the way it is. This is Sarah talking, I believe, through the lens of Chazal. Don't forget that the world is in the condition that it's in because... It started off on the wrong foot. It started off on the wrong foot because Adam Harishon did a chet with the Eitz Hadas. It started off with the wrong foot because Cain killed Hevel. We learned about this all the way at the beginning. I hope it's all in front of your eyes. There was a chet, and the chet needs a tikkun. And it gets a little bit Kabbalistic on the one hand to talk about here, but on the other hand, it's necessary to understand this. The purpose of Bnei Yisrael is to be Mesakein the world, Lesakein Oilo B'malchus Shakai Kol Bnei Bazar Yikru B'Shmecha. If we could do the tikkun, Sarah understood, if we could create a family, a geza, a dynasty, which can then teach the world, then bring the Shechina to the world and get the Torah from Shemayim, who would the Torah have come to if we would have just been Bataris Avraham? Where would there have been a mountain Torah? There would have been, we see that Hashem went around to all the nations of the world, they want the Torah. It wasn't even, presumably they're talking, Hashem is asking them, presumably they're believing in Hashem, but they didn't want the Torah. They weren't ready for the Torah. Who's going to be ready for the Torah? It's going to be Avram. It's not going to be Yishmael. It's going to be Yitzchak. Yitzchak, and this is, keep this in mind, is about the beginning, taking over from Avram, the beginning of fixing the world, the tikkun, which needed to be done, being mesaken, the chet of Adam HaRishon. Remember we learned back by Noach, we're talking about Noach, that the world was in such sad shape before the flood of Noach. And Lamech, that's Noach's father, Lamech said, when Noach was born, he said, let's call him Noach, because Zeh Yilach HaMeinu, he's going to give us a menucha. He's going to do the tikkun. Everybody thought that maybe Noach would do the tikkun. Noach didn't do the tikkun because he wasn't able to reach out to this universalism thing, didn't work. He wasn't able to reach out to the whole world. So Hashem destroyed the world. Okay, now there's no world. Maybe now I could do a tikkun. What's left? What could be hard to be mizaken? So he wasn't able to do a tikkun then either. Even afterwards, he couldn't do a tikkun because, as we learned, Chom Avi Knan ruined the tikkun. And everything at that point, the tikkun means, let me just explain to you, we shouldn't get carried away with a word. The tikkun means getting back to the world as it should be. What should the world be? How was it created to be? It was created to be Gan Eden. If we wouldn't have been in Danachet, we would all be living in Gan Eden. We're not living in Gan Eden. I can show you the piece of paper I hold in front of me when I daven of people that tell me names of this one who has this problem and that problem and children problems and health problems. We're not in Gan Eden. We're not in Gan Eden. But we're not in Gan Eden because the tikkun of the chet didn't happen. That's why if we're out of Gan Eden with the Beis Hamikdash, a little bit of Gan Eden. At least there was some Gan Eden, there was some tikkun. But that's what we're aiming for. So Sarah said, don't get carried away with the... I'm sorry to put it in such human terms, and I don't have any disrespect for Sarah or Avraham or anything like that, but I'm just saying that when we look at Sarah's actions of throwing Yishmael out of the house and being jealous, it looks like she's being jealous of Hagar. It wasn't so simple. This was a derech. It was a derech of what we must create something different over here. We must create a family. It's got to be a tzimtzum. It has to be a focus. A singularism, which is going to be mesakein the chet. It's not going to be about the whole world. So, we have Yishmael, we have Yitzchak, we have two brothers. Now, I just want to spend a few minutes talking about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is fascinating to me. Titen emes liYaakov, chesed laAvram. That's how the pasuk goes. Yaakov stood for truth, Avram stood for chesed. Instead, the chesed doesn't just mean acts of kindness, which of course Avram Avinu did, but chesed means hispashtus. Chesed means the whole world is for me. That was what Avraham was. He was reaching out to the whole world. Yaakov, emes. Because remember, that's what we just talked about, that if you have the whole world, if you have the TV cameras in front of you, so then you might have chesed, but you don't have emes. You can't have emes under such circumstances. You can't. Also like the world of politics, you know, it can't be emes. There's no emes in that because that's the world. But it's not. That's why Talmidei Chacham should not become politicians. Yeah.
Won't there be emes for everyone?
There'll be emes, no politics. I tell you, I have an insight into politics, just as an aside while I'm here. Like, I don't mean who to vote for, but just like the word, like, what does it really mean? Politics, what does it really mean? So I'll tell you what I think it means. It means that, you know, you do something, a nice thing. Let's say I invite you to my son's wedding. Why do I invite you to my son's wedding? Because I want you to come to my son's wedding. Or... am I inviting you to my son's wedding because I want you to do me this favor? I want you to invite me to your son's wedding. I want to be able to show people that you're there because you're so important. If I'm doing anything because, then it's all political. I'm doing it for this favor, I'm doing it for this relationship, I'm doing it so that this, I'm doing it so that, I owe you, you owe me, I'll do this, tit for tat. Everyone's keeping track. That's politics. A Talmud Chacham, should, Bnei Torah in general, should do things, I say Dvarim Laman Pahalon, you do things for the reason that you're doing them. You know, like, why am I davening? Because I want to daven. Why am I doing you a chesed? Because that's the right thing to do. It's not so that anything. So the minute there's a so that anything in there, it's already political. So when it's political, it already loses the emes. That's what I mean. So Avraham Avinu's derech, not that Avraham Avinu was anything but emes, but he wasn't called emes. Yaakov was called emes because it was completely focused. So we have titein emes li Yaakov on the one hand, chesed la Avraham, where's Yitzhak? Where is he though in the pasuk? Chaser. Yitzchak doesn't. Where is he in the Torah? We have half the Sefer Bereishis talking about Avraham, the other half talking about Yaakov and Yosef and his children. And the only thing we know about Yitzchak, actually two things we know about Yitzchak. We know about his shidduch. We don't know much about him. We know about Akedas Yitzchak. We know about his shidduch. We know about da mincha. We know things about him. He said nothing throughout this. He said nothing. The whole Akedas Yitzchak, all he said was, Ayeh Hasel Ola. Where is the lamb? What's going on? Okay, I guess he couldn't hold up his silence any longer. Yitzchak was the most passive character in all of the Torah. Like there's nothing. Do you know that? We have all kinds of conversations that go on between Avraham and Sarah and Yaakov and Rachel. Like very aggressive conversations. When Sarah wasn't having children, she came to Avraham and she said, "Look, take my shivcha Hagar, ulai ibana bimena. Maybe from her we'll have some children. They, let's make a plan." Okay, this kind of plan, good plan, bad plan. They made a plan. Rachel couldn't have children, so Rachel said to Yaakov, "Give me children. V'lo beison noichi. If not, I'm going to die." Rivka, doesn't say she said it. We have no conversation at all between Rivka and Yitzhak. I didn't believe that there's one sentence that she said that we know. I mean, maybe she was talking all the time. But from what we know in the Chumash, and this is significant, we have one sentence that Rivka said to Yitzhak. And that was at the end, after the whole story of the brachas, and that she was manipulating the whole situation over there. Put on these clothes, Yaakov. Don't let him get the bracha. I'll make the food. The whole thing. Never said a word to Yitzchak. Why didn't she just say to Yitzchak, "Yitzchak, you're making a mistake. You're old. You're blind. You don't know what you're doing. Give the bracha to Yaakov." She should at least say it. I mean, even if he doesn't listen, she should only say it. She doesn't say a word to you. The only thing she says to Yitzchak is at the very end, after the brachas and everything, she says, "Katzti b'chaya b'pnei b'nai s'chait." I can't even think of the idea of my Yaakov marrying a Canaanite woman. Please, Yitzchak, tell him to go. And there Rashi says, "Ubemirma amar." She said that manipulatively because she wasn't really worried about who he was going to marry. She was afraid that Esau was going to kill him. So she wanted to get him far away. It was the only word, why those words, like the whole conversation, nothing. But look, we know the story. Yitzchak came off the Akedah. He was 37 years old. 3 years later came the Shidduch. So Rivka was 3 years old. So everybody wants to know, like, how do you marry somebody who's 3 years old? Obviously, it was a different kind of a marriage. Am I right? I mean, obviously, if he's 40 and she's 3... We know she's 3. It says right in the Chumash that she's 3 because it says she was born by the Akedah, and then After the Akedah came the whole story of Eliezer that going took 3 years. I hope she was at least three of it, but she was three. 3 years later, that he was Arbaim Shana Bekachtoi as Rivka. He was 40 years when he married Rivka. This wasn't a... it wasn't Yaakov who met Rachel and he hugged her and he kissed her. Vayishag Yaakov LeRachel, you know, like you're learning this in school. Hey, what's going on over here? Like, you know, Yaakov meets Rachel and he's embracing her and he's kissing her and he's listening, like, well, let's go, I love you. No, you can't have to lay out, wait for you 7 years. Like a whole romance, a whole, you know, West Side Story. Everything is just beautiful over there, but not Yitzhak. Not Yitzhak. Well, it's interesting. No... It was a different kind of a marriage. From here, you see, by the way, just besugrayim, that there are different models for successful marriages. Sometimes you get a marriage where you don't have to talk your whole life. it might not be for you and me, but I mean, it's not every marriage is the same. You know, not every marriage is about it's not all about talking. This was a different thing. It was about a mission, but Yitzhak in general was silent. Said very, very little. Until came the time of Yaakov and Esav. Ayei aseh lo'ola. Where is this? Avraham Avinu told him, Hashem will take care of it. Okay. he didn't even respond. Everything's okay. Everything's good. You know, there's one story about Yitzhak which nobody understands. Where the Torah says that, we'll talk about it more in a minute, but he was digging up the Be'eros. He went and he located in the Negev area Me'esharim, right? 100 wells, different wells. And these were wells that Avraham Avinu in his Gevura, Avraham Avinu with his army, created a whole water system throughout the whole Israel. A whole water system. He knew where to dig for water. And there were wells all along. For some reason, which if we have time we'll talk about, the Pelishtim, like the then Palestinians, came and they covered up all the wells. They were jealous of Avraham Avinu, that he's taking over Eretz Yisrael. And this is what Eretz Yisrael needed, was water. We should appreciate this today. Eretz Yisrael needs water. Water is... You know, water is not just like water to drink, and it's not just that the plants grow better. But, you know, like even here now, like, if the Kinneret is full, there's that much less fighting between the Jordanians and the Israelis over who's using all the water in the Kinneret. Like, it's water brings even that kind of shalom. So Avraham Avinu made water systems. Everybody can live all over Eretz Yisrael because he made water systems. The Pelishtim came, Besasmum Pelishtim, the Chumash says. The Pelishtim came and they covered up all the wells. What does Yitzchak do? Yitzchak was busy uncovering the wells that his father made that the Pelishtim were so sick. Let him make his own wells. Yitzchak is identified through his father and through his children. Some go so far to say is that he was almost like his whole purpose was to be a link in the chain between Avraham and Yaakov. Hence, he doesn't even appear in the pasuk of Titei Nevus LeYaakov Chesed LeAvraham. Passive, very, very passive. I was thinking like the Torah says, "Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz." There was a famine in the land in Eretz Yisrael. Kimo harav shahayu bimei Avraham Aviv, like the famine that was there in the time of his father of Avraham. I'm looking at this person, he can't even have his own famine. What's it got to do with his father's famine? Ad kedei kach. What didn't faze him?
I'm saying...
What am I making simple?
Everything that he did, all of the MS that Yaakov was able to have is only because Yitzchak was steeped in learning and was able to... Okay, he didn't have to... Okay, his father said that there'll be a sheep, so he's not going to fret about it. But he was mom, and then, you know, Shem's running the world, his father's...
I'm with you 100%. I just don't know what you're saying that I didn't say. It's exactly what I said. That his... Tachlis was to be Mekabel from Avraham. And if Avraham said there's going to be an ayil, there's going to be an ayil. And Avraham Avinu made be'eros, and I'm going to uncover Avraham Avinu's be'eros. And if there's a ra'av ba'aretz, if there's a famine in the land, let's compare it to the famine that was there at the time of Avraham Avinu. I'm not saying it as a negative. I'm saying that his mahus was a mahus of tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means he's taking Avraham Avinu, which was a global character, traveled the Middle East, and he's bringing it to a tachlis here in Eretz Yisrael. He was the Yoresh. Sarah said, "La Yirash is Bana Alba Hazeh, Ibni Ib Yitzchak." Yitzchak has to be the Yoresh. Let Yisrael run around the world, Yodai Bakol, all the Paradom Yafeh. But Yitzchak is going to be the Morish of Eretz Yisrael, and it's only when Eretz Yisrael has its tikkun that we have we have the tikkun. Let me point something out here. You know, it's also interesting that there are, I counted, 60 psukim telling the story of how Eliezer found a shidduch for Yitzchak. What he wanted to find, his conversation with Avraham Avinu, then what happened, and then how he told it over. So it seems like extra psukim, right? Yafa sichasin shel avdei avai. The Gemara says, like, wow, like this eved of Avraham, so many psukim, there's many more psukim about what Eliezer said than, let's say, what Yosef said. You know, this was all going on, these 60 psukim, was all going on, as I said, during the 3 years from the Akedah. So the Akedah, let's just keep the chronology in mind for a minute here. The Akedah was, again, when Avraham Avinu was how old? 37. So he's 37 years old. I pointed out last week or a couple of weeks ago that when they went up to the Akedah, Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak, he took a Chamor, he took Yishmael, and he took Eliezer. Shtei Na'arav, Vikach, Shtei Na'arav, Ito. Took these two to Arab, Yishmael, Rashi says, and Eliezer, Eben Avraham. Two that were hoping, two wannabes, to take over if Yitzchak ends up being killed, as Hashem told him to do. Yishmael said, okay, that puts me back in charge. I become the Yoresh then. And Eliezer always wanted, right, he didn't want the whole shidduch to come through because he said, why doesn't Yitzchak just marry my daughter? And Avraham Avinu had to tell him, it's not going to work. Ain Davuk, it was uncomfortable. You know, you're my faithful servant and everything else, but not your daughter, my son, is not Nishkin Shidduch. Right? So, but they were there. So Avraham Avinu promised them, and he said, Shvulachem poi machamor, vani vanar nelchad koi, v'nishtachaveh, v'nashuva aleichem. We will bow down, we'll daven, v'nashuva aleichem. He didn't tell him the whole story about the Akedah, what he's supposed to do. The pasuk comes and says, after the whole story of the Akedah, that Avraham Avinu, Vayashav Avraham El Na'arav, Avraham Avinu came back down as he said, and he went with Yishmael and with Eliezer. So the Gemara asks, where's Yitzchak? Vayashav Avraham, where did Yitzchak go? Yitzchak was crawling down the other end of the mountain. He came down a different way, didn't come back with Avraham at all, and he spent the next 3 years, the Torah tells us, in Be'er Lachai Ro'i. A Be'er in the Negev where Hagar had her Nevuah. 3 years later, 60 psukim, after Eliezer is finding the shidduch, this is going to be, 60 psukim, this has got to be the best shidduch in the history of the world, though. I mean, 60 psukim in the Torah, Avraham Avinu is directing him, there's Ruach HaKodesh, there's Nevuah, and Eliezer finally finds Rivka, and all the simanim come true, and he puts her on the gabal, and they're traveling out of the Beis Lavan, and the Beis Besuel. This has got to be the shidduch, you know, this is the shidduch of shidduchim. What a story, unbelievable shidduch story. and they're traveling out, and the Torah says that let's just take a look at the side for a second. Get the psukim right. Say Parakov Dalid. I'll show you. Parakov Dalid, towards the end of Chayasura. Vayivarachu Pasuk Samach. Vayivarachu is Rivka Vayomrula. They sent Rivka away, Vayomrula, and they said to her, Achoseinu Atayil Alfei Revavu. We spoke about it last week. The Pasuk that we say to Chuppah. This is Laban's Pasuk. You should be Alfei Revavu Vayirash Zareich Es Shar Soinov. And it should be your children, Rivka. This was the bracha that they gave her when they let her leave Laban's house. Parach Abdalad Pasuk Samach Aleph. Vatokam Rivka V'Narosel. So just picture this in your mind. Rivka V'Narosel V'Tirgavna L'Agmalim. They get on camels. Rashi says poor people went on donkeys. Rich people went on camels. V'Tirgavna L'Agmalim V'Telachna Achreish. They followed Eliezer into the desert. Into the desert, into Eretz Yisrael. Vayikach ha'eved es Rivka vayelach. He took Rivka. They went. Where did they go? They were going to, presumably, to Avraham Avinu's house, which would have been in, where did he live? Hebron. He lived in Hebron. Vayitzchak, on the way, coincidentally, so to speak, Yitzchak ba mi boy be'er lachayrei. Yitzchak, who was hanging out since the Akeda in be'er lachayrei, so Yitzchak is walking from Be'er Lachai Roi. Vehu Yoshe, because he lived Be'eretz HaNegev. So they're coming from Haran somehow, and they're coming through the Negev, and here's Yitzchak coming from Be'er Lachai Roi. Why was he going? Rashi says tremendous. Rashi says a beautiful thing. He was picking up Hagar, his, what's her relationship to him? His brother's mother, his half brother's mother. He's bringing Hagar back to Avram Avinu. Otherwise, he was just living there in the Negev all by himself. You understand what's going on? It's like a new view here of the story that while Avraham Avinu was busy making a shidduch for Yitzchak, Yitzchak was busy making a shidduch for Avraham Avinu. He's bringing Hagar back. As the Medrash says that Yitzchak said to himself, this doesn't pass that I should be married, my father should not. Lo yafeh. So he had like a certain sensitivity. So he's a Be'er Lachai Roi. He says, who's the perfect shidduch for my father? Hagar. He liked Hagar. If Sarah went to throw her out, he would be married to Hagar. In fact, as we learned, Hagar came back. Her name was now Keturah, because Noi Ma'aseh Keturah, she was so wonderful and tzaddikus that she was. He married her, and they lived for decades together and had a whole bunch of children in a different time. But here's the point I want to bring today.
Her
Maisim, she became known as Keturah, which is another way of saying the tzaddikus. She was the tzaddikus. Vayetze Yitzchak, so exactly at this time that Eliezer and this whole entourage with Rivka is walking through the fields of the Negev, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basode, lifnais arev. Here it is before Shkia, and Yitzchak is walking and talking in the sode, in the field. Vayisa enav, he picks up his eyes, Yitzchak. So this was Yitzchak, who was on the Akeda, who's inventing Mincha right now. It's like such a holy thing to be. And Vayisa Einav, whatever it says Vayisa Einav, like by the Akeda, doesn't mean just Vayar. Vayisa Einav, he picked up his eyes. And what does he see? You know, you want him to see the Shechina, like last time, Vayisa Einav, Vayar, he saw the Shechina. He sees a bunch of camels. He sees camels. So it's so anticlimactic. Vatisa Rivka Eineha, on the other hand, Rivka picked up her eyes. Vateres Yitzchak, okay, that's something. She saw Yitzchak. Vatipo Me'al HaGamal, and she fell off the camel. So interesting. There were obviously equidistance. Yitzchak sees camels, and she sees Yitzchak.
Well, she's a lot smaller.
She's three. She fell off the camel.
And she had better eyes. Yeah, she had better vision on top.
But Tamar Ella Evet, so she, Rivka says to Eliezer, Miha ish halozeh. No, halozeh only appears, I think, twice in the Chumash. Halozeh. I should have said, Miha ish hazeh. You with me in the Chumash here, Samachay? Miha ish halozeh. What does that word mean? How do you translate it? Anybody there? But Tamar Eleven, she says to Eliezer, Miha ish hazeh. So halozeh was, like you find later in the Chumash, when Yosef was coming and the brothers saw him from a distance just before they threw him into the pit and sold him down the river. So they said, Hine bal ha-chaloymais ha-lo-zeh ba. So it doesn't mean this, it means like there's that guy. Ha-lo-zeh is a proper noun. Ha-lo-zeh is very, 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 very strong. Mi ha'ish ha-lo-zeh ha-holech ba-sodeh, who's walking in the field. Likrasenu. He's coming to greet us. Vayomer ha'evet hu adoni. He's the one we've been talking about. Vatika ha-tsa'if vatitka. She covered her face. This is really the pasuk that I wanted to read here. Vayisaper ha'evet li-yitzchak. Now this Eved has a lot to say. 60 psukim in the Torah. Vayisaper ha'evet li-yitzchak es kol advar masher asa. That's the whole story. He told them, sounds like it took a minute. This is her, yeah. This is the shidduch. Vayivyel Yitzchak ohela Sarah imo. Yitzchak brought her to Sarah's tent. Vayikach es Rivka. He married her. Vatila le'isha. Vayahavela. She became his wife. He loved her. Vayinachem Yitzchak achrei imai, and Yitzchak was always remembering his mother, and that Rivka was a replacement for his mother. And where was Avram? He moved out of this tent, and he moved in with Hagar, and he was doing something else. He was doing something else. He was being makar of the world. Yitzchak took over the tent, and he was remembering his mother. Vayinachem achrei imai. So here's what I want to share with you. If you, anybody who looks through Brachos from the beginning all the way until Parshas Vayechi, till the end, will see this, that everybody is divided between basically two jobs. Either they were Isha Adama, they were working the land, or they were Roetzon, which is Navanat. From the beginning, Cain was which? Isho Adama, and Hevel was Roetzon. Now, for some reason, I think our heart always goes out to the Roetzon. Like, we like them better. Probably because Hevel was a Roetzon. It's not correct. The Isha Adama is what we're trying to emulate throughout all of the Chumash. Hevel was also a Isha Adama, Rashi says, but when he saw that because of the chet of his father, Adam, Hashem said, Arura Hadama, the earth is cursed. Kotz v'dardar tatzmiach, it started growing thistles and weeds, and it wasn't growing what man wanted it to grow. He became a roetzon. But Batzem, he was an Isha Adama. That was what you're supposed to be. In other words, man was created to be, to work the land. And this is really the point that I want to bring. See, it says, Adam Arishin, all the way at the beginning of creation, it says, this is in Perek Beis, if you want to look, if you have this Chumash, page 10. Ela told us, Hashemayim va'aretz, Hashem created the whole world, bi'barim bi'yom asos, Hashem alakim eretz v'shamayim, Hashem created the eretz, created the shamayim, v'chosia chasodem, tiramia ba'aretz. But things weren't yet happening in the land. The grass did not yet grow. In other words, creation is finished, but the grass did not yet grow. Because it didn't rain yet. This is the key. Adam ayin lavoides adama, and there was no man to work the land. Let me say, this is so important. So yisoidus that we need to understand. We're so not conditioned this way because of our whole history. That Hashem created the world. The world is created to be more and more earthy, closer to earth. No nafkamina to us really, unless you're a makubal, what's going on in the higher worlds and the spheros. It's all about this world. And man was created to now take everything that Hashem gave us in this world and do something with it, work the land. Adam ayin lavados haaretz. Hashem did not complete the creation because he needs man to be a farmer. I mean, what is this, the histadrut? I mean, why does he need Adam? Just make it grow? The answer is that the whole purpose of the creation of man is to be mekadesh the aretz. That's the whole point. Hashem said, Arura ha'adama. Now we have a problem. What was Adam's name? Adam. Why? Ki min ha'adama lukachazais. He was a man of the earth. What I'm saying is that if you take the two positions that you'll see all the way through Sefer Bereishis, you have the Isha Adama and you have the Roetzel. Who's closer to the earth? The Isha Adama. But the Isha Adama couldn't do his job. Why couldn't he do his job? Because Arura ha'adama. That's what Rashi says. Because Hashem cursed the earth, so we circumvented it. We circumvented the real tachlis of a person. We became roe tzon. But there was such a huge tachlis of being isha adama. That's adam ayin. Isha adama means so many things: begashmius, beruchnius. But what it really means is that taking the world, that like not being esoteric and not being aloof and not being in a different world, taking the world that we live in and being mekadosh that world, making it holy, making our businesses holy, making our farms holy, making Eretz Yisrael. Why do we need a land? Why aren't we nomadic? What do we need Eretz Yisrael? Because it's all about the earth becoming holy. That's what it's all about. Do you know, like the Israeli way of looking at things, which is, I think, the Torah way of looking at things, yeah, there's only two places in this world, Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Think about the word, like, Chutz La'aretz. Well, what do you mean? You're from Spain or Baghdad or America or England? Chutz La'aretz. It's Chutz La'aretz. Either you're in the Aretz or you're not in the Aretz. The Aretz is the whole thing. Doesn't make any difference where you are. Chutz La'aretz doesn't mean the diaspora. Chutz La'aretz means Chutz La'aretz. Either you're with the program or you're not with the program. It's just very simple like that. If you're Ba'aretz, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's created man for. Ba'adam ayin lavedes ha'adama. Adam, your name is Adam. Your name is Adam. Your whole purpose is to be ovedes ha'adama. What was the very first thing? What was the very first thing Noach did when he came out of the teva? Planted. Noach isha adama. So here's the interesting thing that I want to bring out. Avram Avinu was a roetzon. Avram Avinu was a shepherd. I mean a shepherd. Millions and millions of flock. Yitzchak was always in this field. Yitzchak was in the field. The field is passive in a way. But Yitzchak, I don't mean that he was a farmer necessarily, that he was working in chaklaut, although he was. But Yitzchak was the Ish HaSodeh. Look at the pasuk again. It's just the pasuk. It screams out at us over here. Vatober Alevet. These are the words of Rivka when she saw Yitzchak, her shidduch. Mi ha'ish ha'lozeh ha'holech basodeh. Perek Chav Dalet, Pazuk Samachay. Mi ha'ish ha'lozeh, who is this man? Ha'holech basodeh. What's the difference if he's walking on the sodeh or thought he was a chassid, he's walking on water. What's the difference when he's walking? Where he's walking? Walking on the road, he's walking on the... what's the difference where he's walking? She points out, Mi ha'ish ha'lozeh ha'holech basodeh. He's a field man. He's out in the field. Where was he misaken mincha? In the field. It's just so significant. Do you understand this? Shachris is Avraham Avinu. Barav is Yaakov. Mincha, the Gemara says, mincha is the most important of all three tefillos. Why? Eliyahu Navi, loy nene ela betfilos mincha. Eliyahu Navi in Haifa there in Har HaKarmel was only answered when he davened mincha. He davened shachris, but he wasn't answered. He was only answered aneinu Hashem aneinu only lifnois erev when he was davening mincha. So says the Tanakh about Eliyahu Hanavi. Why? Very simple. Because mincha is a time when you're in the middle of everything. You're in the middle of the sadeh. It's not when you get up in the morning and let's give some time to Ribbono Shel Olam, let's give some time to Ruchnius. It's not when you're going to sleep at night, here I lay me down to sleep and I'm going to say Kriya Shema, Kol Kach Yafeh, say nice Amalach, Hagoah, Elos. Mincha is in the middle of everything. Where do you see Mincha Minyanim? In the hallways of office buildings. That's where you see Mincha Minyanim. Mincha is on the road, on Kvish Achad, you see Mincha Minyanim. In the middle of everything, I'm supposed to daven? Because the whole... That's the sadeh. We're taking the earth that we live in and being Mekadosh it. That was what Yitzchak did. Avraham was up here. Avraham was a philosopher, a tzaddik, a Baal Chesed that was reaching out to the entire world. Avraham Avinu, but Sarah said, now let's bring this all down to earth. Earth to Avraham. We need Yitzchak. Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach Basoda Rivka, 3 years old, Chapten. Bi Ha'ish HaLozeh, HaHolech Basoda Likraseinu, he's in the field. Interesting, he's not in the Beis Medrash, he's not in Shul, he's not at the Sheikh Aver Yeshiva. He was in the Sodeh Davidic. This is what the Torah is pointing out. So the Torah says, let me wind down because I really don't want to end too late, even though I'm just getting started. Comes a point in Yitzchak's life, for instance, Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. Where does Yitzchak go? He goes to Gerar. You know where Gerar is? Gerar is Aza. Goes to Gerar. Why did he go to Gerar? Because he's heading towards Mitzrayim. He's going to Egypt. And why is he going to Egypt? Because his father went to Egypt. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a halachic thing. If you're starving, you go to Egypt. Where do you... look, I mean, we all want to live in Eretz Yisrael, but if you're starving, go to Egypt or wherever. So Avraham Avinu is following in the path of the father. Avraham Avinu, there was a Rav Ba'aretz, and here the Torah points this out. Meaning the Torah is telling us a distinction between Avraham and Yitzchak, right? Isn't that the correct way to read it? Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz kemoi shehaya Rav bimei Avraham Aviv, just like there was a Rav. Vayelech Gerara, by the way, the Arabs call this, they call it Gerara. That's what they call Aza, the Gaza Strip. They call it Gerara, because and Gerara in Arabic means that it's full of stones and it doesn't grow things, and that's what Gerara. Gerara means like it's stony, it's arid, it's not fertile land. Let's go to Egypt. Now here's the thing with Egypt. Egypt, what do you do when it doesn't rain? What does it mean? Like it didn't rain in Eretz Yisrael and it did rain in Egypt? Is that the way you understand it? Who says it's going to rain in Egypt? So the answer is Egypt is the Fertile Crescent. It doesn't have to rate in Egypt. As the Nile. Egypt has the Nile. Israel does not have the Nile. So the Nile rises, and the Nile fertilizes Ad Hayom Hazeh, doesn't have to rain in Egypt. And it's green, and it's beautiful. That's Egypt. Kegan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim, says the pasuk. Kegan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Egypt, you should know, looks like Gan Eden. Avraham Avinu said, where am I going to go if it doesn't rain in Eretz Israel? Let's go to Egypt. Over there, they're not totally in rain. Not totally in rain. Yitzhak's on his way down to Egypt. He's in Gerara. He's with his wife Rivka, and he's going to go to Egypt, and he has a nevuah from Hashem. And the nevuah from Hashem is Al Tered Mitzrayim. No. Yitzhak, you're not Avram. You're Yitzhak. Al Tered Mitzrayim. You don't go down to Egypt. Go to Rashi. Ein chutza la'aretz kedai lecha. Wow. I have to tell you something personally. When I read this Rashi, I shiver a little bit. Ein chutza la'aretz kedai lecha. Let's see. Perek Chavav. Just read it together for a minute. Kedai. Perek Chavav told us. Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz. Let's just learn it together. See if everything I said is true. You have it? Perek Chavav. Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz. Bilvad Rav Arishon Asher Hayah Bimei Avram. Besides for the first, like I said, he doesn't even get his own famine. Besides for the first famine in Eretz Yisrael, which was Bimei Avram, Vayelech Yitzhak El Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerara. And he goes down to the Plishtim state of Gerara, which is, as I say, it's on the Egyptian border. Vayere Elav Hashem, and Hashem appears to him in Gerara, in Gaza Strip. Vayomer, and Hashem says to Yitzchak, stop right now. Al Tered Mitzrayim, don't keep going down to Mitzrayim. Shechoin Ba'aretz, you have to live where? In the Aretz. It's not for you. Asher oimar elecha, gur ba'aretz hazos. Live in this land. The rain? Ve'eya imecha, v'avarechecha. I'll be with you, I will bless you. Ki lecha ulezaracha, because to you and your children, ete neskol ha'arotzei so'el, I'm going to give them this godly country, Vakimosi as Hashvua, and I'm going to keep my promise, Asher Nishbati la Avram Avicha, which I promised to Avram Avicha. Vihir Basi, he gives him such a bracha there as he's about stay in Eretz Yisrael, he tells him. Vihir Basi as Zaracha, I'll give you children, Kikochve Ashamayim, they'll be like the stars of the heavens, just like he said to Avram Avinu. But Avram Avinu, he did let go to Mitzrayim. Because Avram Avinu was Avram Avinu, he was a universal character. After everywhere he went, you know, like Rabbi Nachman Breslover says that he says this in the Lukutei Eitzes, Sichas Harad Lukutei Eitzes. He says that if you ever have an opportunity to take a trip, and you're thinking like, I don't really feel like taking a trip, I don't want to travel, but somebody's saying, come take a trip here, I'm giving you a ticket. So Rabbi Nachman Breslover says, take the trip, because if Hashem is sending you someplace, it's because there's something that you have to be misaking there. There's a reason why you have to go. Like, don't never be bezalzel on a trip. If the opportunity comes, take it. Now, he was going from the Ukraine to Russia or to Germany, but to leave Eretz Yisrael, I don't know. Hashem told Avram Avinu, you can go to Mitzrayim, it's for you. He told Yitzhak, you can't go. It was a different madrega. Ekev asher shama Avraham b'kol b'shvar b'shvarti. So let's see. Rashi says here. Al terid mitzrayma. See pasuk base. Shahaya daitay laredas lebitzrayim. Because Yitzchak was thinking, I'll go to Mitzrayim k'may shiyared aviv, just like my father did b'may harav. Amar lo al terid mitzrayim. Don't go to Mitzrayim. Here's what I was quoting to you. Sha'ata ola tabiba Yitzchak. You were on the Akedah. You're like very, very holy. Eid chutza la'aretz kedai lach. You're not for chutz la'aretz. What a Rashi. Why isn't he for chutz la'aretz? Why is it called chutz la'aretz? And why does it tell him three times? Gur ba'aretz. Because Yitzchak was Vayetza Yitzchak lasuach basode. Yitzchak was the Isada. Yitzchak had to be Mesakein. The Arizal tells us this. Yitzchak had to be Mesakein the Chet of Kayin, the Isho Adama, that killed Hevel. And Yitzchak's job was to now do something to get us back into Gan Eden, because Hashem said to Adam Arishin, because of that Chet of the Eitz Hadas, that Arura Adama. So he told him, this is where you need to be, Shchoin Ba'aretz. You need to be close to the earth. Don't go to the place which doesn't need the rain. Go to the place which needs the rain and daven for the rain. It's a much harder job. Much nicer to live in the fertile crescent. But this is not what Yitzchak, Ein Chutzal Ba'aretz, Kedai Lach. It'll be nice, but that's not what it's all about. Yitzchak's job was to finish off the Bria. So you know what this is called in Kabbalistic words? This was called Yitzchak bringing Malchus to this world. Meaning that until now, everything was kind of like hovering, the shame Hashem, because of Avraham Avinu, was hovering over the world, and Yitzchak had to make it come for a landing right in Eretz Yisrael. Don't go to Mitzrayim, you're going to mess up the whole thing. You are the conduit. You are the attractor. You're the magnet. You're going to bring the rain. Just like Adam, remember the pasuk we just learned? Adam, I in lava in Adam. I can't make it rain, Hashem said when he finished creating the world, because I didn't create Adam yet. So you're that Adam that's going to make it rain in Eretz Yisrael. What is he busy with? He's uncovering the Be'erois. He's in the land. Everything that he did was earth. Every plant you see, Yitzchak, he's basada. Let me just tell you this last thing before we close for the evening here. Yaakov and Esav. Which one was the Isha Adama? Esav. And Yishmael was a para Adam. He was the Isha Adama. Yodei Tzai, the hunter, but he was the Isha Adama. Yitzchak was very attracted to Esav. That's where he saw. Maybe Esav, I know I'm blind, and I know that I'm being fooled, and I know I'm old, but maybe Esav, the Isha Adama, my son Esav, this is where it's all going, right? Like Avram to Yitzchak to Esav. So he wanted to give the bracha to Esav. Esav is the Isha Adama, after all. He's the one who's working the land. That's what he did. Esav, the Torah says, he was an Isha Adama. Pashut. Yaakov comes, and he fools him. And here, Yitzchak seems to be in a predicament because of all the senses, he can't see because he's blind. He's hearing, but he's hearing two different. He's hearing the wrong thing. Akol kol Yaakov. He's feeling by Yadayi v'day Esav. So he's tried everything. Try to see, I can't see. I'm trying to listen who you are, I can't hear. Because HaKol Kol Yaakov, Yadayi V'Yadayi Esav, I'm mixed up with the voice. I'm trying to feel, I'm getting mixed messages over here. So what does the pasuk say that Yitzchak did? How did he solve this problem? He called, no? A different story. He took him close by Vayorach Ezreach Begodov. He smelled his clothes. Rashi says, Nichnasi Vayreach Gan Eden. He smelled his clothes. Vihide Vayar, rather, and he saw, he didn't see anything. Vihide Kehem Kereach Hasoda. And they smelled like the field. Vayivarcheu. And he gave him a bracha. You thought it meant, oh, smells like the field. Must be Yitzchak's clothes, because Yaakov never smells like the field. That's not the pshat. The pshat is that who should I give this bracha to? Kol Kol Yaakov, Yadai Bidei Esav. Let me go with the Reach. The Reach, Hinei Reach Bini Kereach Hasoda. Hinei Reach Bini Kereach Hasoda. Your clothes, they smell, you smell like the Reach Hasoda. Soda, you've got the bracha. Vayitel Lucha Alekim Bitala Shemayim Ubishmanei Ha'aretz. Rav Dagon Basirosh. I can give you the Birchas Ha'aretz now. So it's all about, Yitzchak was all about the Sada. And it was all about, he was davening in the Sada, and he invented Mincha in the Sada, because that's a Sada prayer. It's a field prayer. And this is what Rivka saw. He saw the Sada. And this was all in the Sada to be Mesakein, the Chet. This was what we're all waiting for. We're all waiting for a Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak thinking maybe Esav, but realizing, no, Yaakov is also the Sada. So what does it all mean in simple language? What it means is that we think, here's what it all means, tachlis. Tachlis is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in order there should be a dira b'tachtonim. In order there should be a malchus, a melucha, ki l'Hashem ha-melucha u'moshel b'agoyim. Moshe Magoyim is up there. Melucha means a melech below am. It's close to the earth. It's sprouting from the earth. It's grassroots. It means to say that when the Hashem's ruchnius worked all the way, like when he was creating the world, it has to go all the way into the ground, and the whole earth has to be holy. Otherwise, Hashem didn't do his purpose here. It means that if we would learn all day and daven all day and say tilim all day and be makubalim and everything, but let's say we're not honest in business. So that means, or we say something which isn't true for personal gain. So that means that all of it came to here, but it didn't come down to here. It didn't come into the world. It didn't enter into our world, our little piece of the earth that we need to be misaking. What Avraham Avinu was up there, Yitzchak was down here, bringing the tikkun of the world, was bringing it to a place where the world itself has kedusha. This is what Yitzchak said. It's all about the field, and it's all about the Oved HaAdama. Yosef was a roetzon. Yosef was a roetzon because it says that he went out to look after his tzon when they caught him and they sold him. But Reuven was busy dudayim basada. Reuven was busy with the sada. There was always sada. Look through all the brachos. If you look at it with open eyes, everything is sada tzayin, sada tzayin. So interesting. You get into Shemos. Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim. I'll leave you with this question. He comes to Mitzrayim, and they say you move to Goshen because you're all roed tzon. And Mitzrayim, ki toyeva hayol Mitzrayim, it was a toyeva for Mitzrayim called Royei Tzayim. Egyptians hated shepherds. Wouldn't they ever get shepherds? Okay, so you need shepherds. They worship sheep. You don't need shepherds? They worshiped the earth that they were on. It was all, they thought, the Egyptians thought, because it's so fertile, the bracha of the Nilu. So where did Paro go? What he wanted to say, I'm God, I'm close to God. He went into the Nile. He was swimming in the Nile. That's what it says in Parsha Shmos, right? He was swimming in the Nile. Hashem hit the Nile first. It was all about that Avodah Zarah of the Nile, taking Egypt and trying to make it into that being the ultimate. Right, so that, go somewhere else. It's our tachlis is to be misaken the world, the Oretz, the land, the Tribois, the Maestris, the honesty, the Beinam L'chaver, the Chesed. It all has to do with like really, really what we're doing. Not what we're feeling, not what we're thinking, not what's Kabbalistically happening. It all has to do with this Malchus of where we're at. And that's where Yitzchak, this is what Sarah and Rivka, and later on, Rachel and Leah were all pulling things down to the earth, and Yiddishkeit then becomes the most down-to-earth religion in the world. You know, it's no such thing as celibacy, you know. There's no such thing as the biggest Tanoim in the world, the biggest Tanoim in history, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, We're all working fields. Don't talk to me, they said, during the harvest. I can't talk about Torah during the harvest. They were all busy in real estate. They were all busy with this is what they were doing. Because until recently, that was the derech. Derech, what do you call somebody? Torah im derech, what? Eretz. It's all about the Eretz. It's all, why? Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu permeating to the lowest level of what he comes from there. Then we have a sprout, Yirtz Hashem, of a Tzemach, David, Avdecha, Meiris, Hatzmiach. The Yeshua comes from a Tzemicha. It sprouts right out of that. Erev Tov, thank you very much.